Hello and welcome back to another edition of GNET TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director at GNET TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Thursday, February 17th. It's also a great pleasure to be joined by three folks in the real estate industry here to bring us up to speed and tell us about latest trends in real estate in our part of Southern Vermont. As we all know, the industry has certainly been through quite an interesting time over the last couple of years and probably before that as well. But here to tell us more about all of that, we're really pleased to have with us today Steve Stettler, who's a realtor with Four Seasons Sotheby's International, based up in Ludlow, Vermont. Jennifer Prouty Hoffman is the principal broker and owner of Hoffman Real Estate, based in North Bennington. And also very happy to have with us today Greg Cutler, who's a realtor with TPW Real Estate.
Thanks so much, Andrew, for inviting me back. I appreciate the opportunity to, connect with you and let the public know what's really happening in our local markets. I think that's the first and most important part of the conversation is to talk about just how local real estate really is. So you're going to see different answers coming from all three of us, and that's why it's good that we have a broad representation here. The Bennington, Shaftesbury, Arlington market is very, very much a seller's market. It is on fire. Right now, we have historically low inventory and homes that are coming on the market between 200 and 400,000, 500,000 in the Arlington, Sunderland area are selling within a week. Multiple offers. It's just incredibly fast. I think that that's the biggest piece of my consultations that I've been giving to buyers and sellers is explaining just how quickly they should be prepared to act in this market.
Okay. Well, Steve, over to you. What are you seeing up in the Mountain Towns area?
We're seeing absolutely the same thing, and I'm sure Greg is as well. Both unfortunately, record low inventory and record high interest. And as a result, for the good new properties that come on, record speed and record prices when they go under contract. My experience recently is a good new listing will go under contract in 3 days with many multiple offers, all of them above list. And almost anything that goes under contract will be anywhere from 10 to as much as 30% above list.
Sounds like a good time to sell a house.
It's a very good time to sell a house and a very frustrating time to be trying to buy one. So I think we've all got, buyers backed up for months, if not years. And if they're not from the area, as Jennifer says, we all do what we can to prepare them to act swiftly, but it's tough, and you got to be really ready to jump.
And Greg, is that kind of basically the same thing you're seeing in the Manchester area?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really remarkable, especially for us who have seen some leaner times in the past, and these past 2 years have been something else altogether. And I think watching the spring market is really we're all very interested to see how this plays out, and especially up in the mountain towns where some folks may have purchased during the past 2 years. There might be some buyer's remorse, or maybe some issues where they think, "Gee, I have to travel a little bit to get things that I was used to getting that were right at hand." And will they be bringing some properties back onto the market this spring? And then the other key thing is, while you can do well selling your property right now, that many people don't have any place to go with their with the proceeds. And it's the market is not only strong here, it's strong everywhere in the country right now. I have seen where some folks have decided that they have a condo, say, down south, and they may decide to sell up here and move to their second home. And then travel from there. But again, that's probably not as many as one might hope. If you're in a position or want to sell your house, it's a matter of where am I going?
Are there certain houses or types of properties that are really highly desired by prospective buyers at the moment, or is it just, you know, whatever's available is hot?
I would say that anything that's good and available is hot at all levels. I think we all see that kind of mid-range that Jennifer's talking about in the high twos to high fours, low fives is traditionally the most popular in the country, and those will go fast. What we've seen in the mountain towns is that the very large houses and large properties, many bedrooms, lots of outdoor living, lots of land, were honestly not moving much before COVID and are now absolutely the love child of buyers. I think we've all learned as we live and work increasingly more at home, and we have more relatives and friends who are part of our bubble, as it were, that we like that and that we value that and that that's something that we want. So I've certainly had much more success with beautiful properties that just sat there pre-COVID and now fly off the shelf as people look.
So as far as the southern end of the county, I would say that the most popular homes are the ones that are at least three bedrooms, two bathrooms with a garage, you know, that is with an acre. Everybody sort of sets that as like kind of their minimum standard of what they're looking for. And so I then especially have to train buyers to understand that what you want is what everybody wants. There's still predominantly primary residential sales happening in my market. You know, we're not located at the base of a mountain, so we are not as sought after for vacation home buyers. However, there definitely are more people who are looking for that, as well as the ability to rent it when they're not here. And so that's been an interesting shift for me, because that was never really part of my business. And so having to get more involved in understanding the short-term rental market and what those buyers are looking for has come down here, simply because they cannot get what they want in Manchester or the mountains.
Andrew, I was going to say the other issue being that people are definitely looking at land now. There's a little bit of a price break on materials. It's still very difficult to find builders and who are, you know, that's probably a year out on a four bedroom. You know, there's some folks out there that are renovating and they're finding it difficult to find people to even do that. So, but land sales are popping. I think Steve and Jen would agree. And I think the cost of building materials is thawing out slightly. It'll probably jump again with the trucking and embargo between Canada and the United States. I hope it's not as bad as last summer and the year before, but we are seeing that too.
Well, I was wondering, how does this point compare to, let's say, roughly 2 years ago when the pandemic first began?
Often buyers who are working with agents, either as a customer or client, we can get into that later, will call and say, I just saw this property come on the market and can you rush up there, take a video of it, and off you go and you work your way into a series of showings somehow and that are going on. And just like Steve said earlier, multiple offers within hours and the property sells within days. And they really have to be prepared for coming in well over asking. Most of these, well, I'm not going to, most might be half, are what are considered quote unquote cash deals. But I tell you, it's mind boggling how many are cash with no contingencies, no inspection. We as realtors, you know, I think one of the things we pride ourselves on is advising buyers and sellers on things as how important inspections can be. And you know, this is sort of fly by the seat of your pants days out here. They're grabbing it up and taking a chance in some instances. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes. I actually pulled those statistics for a buyer who keeps losing out in Manchester. They do have conventional financing. And she asked the question, you know, is this just a total waste of time? Are we never going to get our foot in the door because we're not cash? So just 6 days ago, I pulled those statistics that over the last 12 months, there were 89 sales, residential sales in Manchester at all price points, and 40 of those were cash. So I said, it's not a total waste of time. You know, that means 49 of them were with some type of financing, but it does make it very hard to compete when it's a property that you have lots of very attractive offers on.
Yeah, I arrived at that 50% because I just did a little look at Wyndham. And I thought, well, maybe Wyndham might be a little bit more on the conventional side. And I was surprised to find that that was the case. It was about half were cash. And most came in at ask and many over asking. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere. It's really pretty fascinating. And there's a risk involved there for buyers who aren't doing the inspections. But somebody might say, well, obviously they can weather the risk because they're coming with cash. So presumably they've got a pad there to take care of what they may or may not find.
I've found, and I'm sure you have too, that it's less that people are not doing inspections, but they're not doing an inspection contingency. So they will get inspections, but they've given up the right to say, I don't want this property if they discover something right in the inspection that was bigger and worse than they suspected. But again, this ends up favoring the people who've got that cushion. And I think one of the things that we're all concerned about is affordable housing and housing for the real local working population, which is a crisis all over the country, but is certainly felt very, very much in our area. And there are lots of organizations trying to work on that now. I was just hearing, and maybe one of you knows more details about it, but the governor's getting ready to propose a program to help support that around the state. But I think that's a huge issue. And I think people probably imagine that realtors are just happy selling million-dollar properties and getting commissions. But in fact, those of us that go into this in no small part because we care about and believe in our community. And the health of the community depends on serving everybody's needs. And many of the people who are being closed out of housing are the very people that you will need to service your house or build it or plow your driveway or, you know, everything else. So we've got some work to do there.
Jen, do you know anything about accessory dwellings as it pertains to, I think they've changed the rules on accessory dwellings in order to stimulate the ability to rent for workforce housing.
Yes, absolutely. So the governor has really supported ADUs as a way for people to be able to afford to stay in their homes. They're now making it legal for any primary owner to make a portion of their home into a rentable unit. That does raise concerns because of septics. The vast majority of Vermont homes are served by septic systems, not on municipal sewers. And so essentially, say you have a 3-bedroom home and now you are going to build on in addition or convert, say, part of your finished basement or something like that into an ADU, you now have to reallocate one of those bedroom counts for the ADU. You cannot now just say, oh, I'm making us go from a 3-bedroom to a 4-bedroom, because that's going to trigger your need for a new wastewater permit. And that is going to slow down the entire process of trying to have more available housing for people and the affordability for those people to stay in their homes if they had to replace their septic system.
They're on the right track there, I think.
They're moving forward, and I think that it's really just going to be a lot easier for people who are on municipal sewer to make that conversion, or for individuals who are, say, in a 2-3-4 bedroom home and living alone. for them, it's not an issue in terms of maxing out their capacity of their septic system. So there's just a lot of education that's required to be given out to the consumer, whether that's going to be a good choice for them.
I was wondering if any of you thought the specter of rising interest rates are going to do anything to dampen sales. I mean, that's going to slow things down, or is the demand so enormous that people will just shrug their shoulders and pay?
What I actually find really interesting, and in my market, I will say conventional financing is still very strong. You know, my average sale price is $225,000, so I'm not selling million-dollar homes every day. That's not what I do. And for most people who are well-to-do, their stock market is growing rapidly, so they're getting incredible gains, 10 to 25% gains by keeping their money invested in the market. So for many people who could actually use cash, they're actually choosing to get a mortgage instead, because even as those rates rise from 2.5% historically low for a 15-year mortgage, even if they end up at 4 or 4.25% by the end of the year, it's still going to be smarter for those people to get that mortgage. Now, for the everyday first-time home buyer, it does really crunch their ability to buy the home that they want as those rates rise. And I have a couple things under contract right now where those buyers were not able to rate lock long enough to get through their closing. And so they are very concerned about how much their payment is going up between now and closing.
Yeah, and historically, if rates, you know, when I bought my first home, I think it was 16.5%. So what we're seeing now is, you know, we were living large at when we were able to refinance at 6.25%, you know, back in 2006 or seven, I don't know. And in the end, the price, you're going to have depressed prices with higher rates and your payments are going to wind up being the same. But right now, as Jen said, this is the point where rates will go up, and it's critical to get that lock, and it's hard for them because it's the difference between $1,500 and $1,800 to $1,900 suddenly, which makes a big difference in people's ability to budget for that. It's still historically low. I mean, it's ludicrous, right? Compared to us old timers or, you know.
If you're of a certain age, you remember a time when this still seems pretty cheap.
Exactly. Does this trigger lock?
I look at the numbers sometime and think, well, that's not bad. I remember back in the 1970s and 1980s.
That's the thing. It's all relative, you know. So someone who's been there, you know, my parents' first home, you know, they got a construction loan at 16 or 18% back in the 80s. So, you know, to them, the rates now are insane. But for someone who's buying their first home and they hear the rates are going up, it does create this, you know, panicked, fear-based response. And a lot of those buyers have been cooled by the heat of the market over the last 2 years anyway. They've decided we're going to save our pennies. You know, we're going to really get our credit where it needs to be. And so I think that it is very disheartening for that subset of people who are in that first time home buyer kind of low budget anyway, for them to think that just as they're getting there, it's going to get out of reach for them.
Jen, and the other quick thing I want to say was that I've had some deals lately with first time home buyers and that have been very successful. So I don't want them to feel discouraged if they're watching, because that's not necessarily the case. And they, it's worked out in several instances. But Jen and I had I think we were working together on something where it was a VHA loan with a particular type of property where it got a little sticky. And so there are some pitfalls out there. And that's, I'll just say, that's why when working with a realtor, you're gonna do better. Just because we're much more aware of that kind of thing. I'm plugging us, guys. So
it's ultimately about working with not only a realtor, but also a lender and an attorney who, as a package, are looking out for your best interests and understand the type of loan that you're getting. There's fantastic first-time homebuyer grants and education out there. So for all those first-time homebuyers, NeighborWorks of Western Vermont covers all of our areas that we're talking about here. And for $99, they have a bundled package where you can go through their first-time homebuyer class and get financial counseling. So it's well worth the investment in your future.
What advice would you give to someone who's selling a house right now?
Well, I think the first thing, and this picks up on comments made earlier, is that you better know that you have somewhere else to go. I'm literally dealing with some buyers today who put their house in Pennsylvania up on the market thinking it would take a while, and it went in 3 days, and they have nowhere to live. And they have spent some time in southern Vermont and said, why don't we move there? But there's very little for them to see. And one of the properties they were going to see today, the people have nowhere to go if they sell. So they've written into it that it's contingent on their finding another home. So it's, you know, a domino effect there. So for one, make sure you've got somewhere else to go or a plan, because if you have a good property, it's probably going to sell. And at a rate that you're going to want to take advantage of. After that, it's pretty much what Jennifer was saying, the way we try to equip a buyer. You want to have your act together and be ready to act. So that means we have to get in there and take photos and often video. And if your place needs paint, good luck getting a painter for, you know, a certain amount of time. If you have to do any kind of even minor staging, none of us wants to show something in anything other than its best light. And at the very least, we usually have to go through and help you, what we like to euphemistically say is declutter. Because a lot of stuff, and I've certainly got it in my house, just gets in the way of people's ability to appreciate. The buyers I had today went into a house that was so perfect that I almost felt the people didn't live there and it had it staged, but apparently they live that neatly. And I got a very quick text that there's very strong interest, and I know that had a lot to do with it. People generally now are not looking to spend a lot of time and money bringing something up to speed unless they've really got some skills or some history there, or plenty of time to wait. So you want your place as close to quote unquote turnkey. We're not allowed to call things that, but as you can get it. And that will absolutely get the interest too.
I would tell sellers to seriously consider pre-inspecting their property, pre-inspecting their septics. And that's a way to take that concern out of the picture right off the bat, being able to present buyers with those inspections and save them so not only money but worry. I would say that you do that for your septic. That would definitely, that would be one of those surefire. And if you do find something wrong, remedy it, get it taken care of. And especially in this market, you're going to do pretty well. And you should be able to cover those costs with the proceeds.
I'd like to ask each of you what your expectations are for this coming year. More of the same?
So I think many realtors have a myopic view of the market. It's based on what, you know, they are personally seeing. I have personally done like 15 CMAs, you know, market reports for sellers who are thinking about selling this spring, just in the last 30 days. And so that's hopefully going to be a lot more inventory coming on the market. And so from my perspective, I think that there's a lot of hope that there's going to be more homes out there and all price ranges, actually, in different towns, big and small. And so I think that there is a house out there for everybody. You just really have to take a very patient approach. If you are in a very desperate hurry because you're taking a job and you need to get here, please get connected with a realtor as soon as possible. Because even if that means we're not going to make a sale, you need to just get into a short-term rental, or we can connect you with a hotel who's got a long-term stay program for you. we can really be that boots on the ground to help you get here. Because as much as we like to sell homes and make that connection, sometimes we just need to get the worker here to get started. So don't feel like connecting with a realtor is only when you're ready to buy.
I would go even a little broader than that. I've found over the last two crazy years, and I've only been in this business for 3 years now, so I have 1 year pre-COVID, but that the majority of the people I'm dealing with, even in early COVID, were not coming here out of COVID flight. I think that Southern Vermont, in my opinion, and I felt this before I went into this business, has been a peculiarly and inexplicably undervalued area until COVID. I think we have the greatest quality of life of any place I know, and I feel very lucky to be living here. And with more time, we could enumerate all the reasons, but we all know that. And I'm finding that the majority of the people that are out there as buyers, as was true at the beginning of COVID, are people who've had a connection with Vermont at some point, either fantasized about it being a part of their life someday, or were going to plan to do it. And with COVID, they had the time and the research and the wherewithal to actually make that happen. And I think we're going to continue to see a very strong, steady interest in buying and frankly living, not just vacationing, in our part of the world. And I think that's great for all of us.
All right. Well, Greg Cutler, you get the last word. What are your thoughts looking forward into the coming year?
Well, first of all, thank you guys. This is great. And fun to be on with Steve and Jen. And I just agree with both of them wholeheartedly. I think that was a really good summary. And Steve, you're exactly right. We have it going on here. And I think it's going to be a strong market for quite a while. And it's just a matter of inventory, really.
I mean, is there going to come a point where there's nothing left to sell? It almost feels like, wow, well, you know.
Now, I think Jen's right. There are folks out there that are going to be able to take advantage of this, and they do have places to go, even if it's moving in with family. And I think we're going to see some strong activity in the spring.
I'm very hopeful for a very busy spring market. I didn't get to answer the question regarding how sellers can prep, so I do just want to put in my two cents real quick before we sign off. Sorry to take the last word from Greg.
Don't worry about that.
You know, it really is so helpful for a seller to not make an impulsive decision, you know, to say, I want to sell today. It's something that you really need to prepare for. You can't leave any of your stuff behind anyway. So start selling it, donating it, trashing it, like whatever you're not going to be taking with you, figure out where that's going to go. Storage units are in very high demand as well. So if you're going to not be able to find a storage unit, use your garage, use your basement, make it neat and organized. You can have a wall full of stuff packed up, ready to go. And I can photograph around that. So the less of your stuff you're showing in a house, the easier it's going to be for someone else to picture themselves living there. Selling a home, the way we stage it, is very different than the way that you live in it. But that's the whole point. You're trying not to live there anymore. So be willing to change the way you're going to live in the home for the last few months that you're there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you all. I guess we'll have to leave it there. But I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about. And maybe we'll have to have you all back again in a few months to kind of give us the next update on what's going on. But for now, I just want to say thanks again to Jennifer Prady Hoffman, Steve Stettler, and Greg Cutler. Really appreciate you guys making the time for this conversation today. And also thanks to all of you for watching and being with us today. Hope you found our program interesting. And well, we'll see you again the next time when we have these three back again to kind of give us the latest word. Meanwhile, have a great day.